Sure, if you'd like to bring your husband, you're welcome to do that entirely up to you.
He will observe.
All right, I think everyone would agree that we have more than our fair share of superstars in Grandview. But even among the superstars, there are people who rise to the top. Sherry is the top of the top. Her commitment to the school district over the past 25 years has been unparalleled. We all know that Sherry is an exemplary teacher. She started at Stevenson and then went to the middle school to teach sixth grade social studies, and then now recently has moved into a non-classroom job where she's been super important. She's served on more committees than probably any of us even knew existed or could count. And she has served her peers as president of the GHEA and as a member and leader of our negotiating team during collective bargaining more than anyone else in recent history. And that includes more times than I did it and more times than Kevin Richards did it. She's done it more than anyone else. And while that in and of itself is an impressive career, what's most impressive about Sherry is her vision. Long before it was mandated by the state of Ohio, Sherry and Eileen Covell began a mentoring program for new teachers. When Sherry began her teaching career after a career in the legal field, she noticed that there wasn't a formalized support system for new teachers. So, seeing this need, instead of just saying, you know what, there's no mentoring program for new teachers, Sherry and Eileen created one on their own. The state finally caught up with what we were doing in Grandview about 5 years after they started or so. The mentoring program that Sherry and Eileen founded is a safe place for new teachers to ask questions, work through challenges, celebrate successes during that crucial first year in the classroom. We know statistically that 50% of new teachers leave the profession in the first 5 years. Our percentage at Grandview, and that is, I believe, in huge part thanks to the mentoring program. Sherry has challenged every new teacher in this district for the past 20 plus years to become more reflective practitioners and to look critically at what we do in the classroom with kids every day. Nobody in the district has had a more long-term impact on teaching and learning and cultivating the philosophy of putting kids first than Sherry. Her impact and her vision is felt in virtually every classroom K-12 in this school district. And when August rolls around, you and people probably out on some craft beer tour or riding your bike cross country. Hopefully you won't fall and break your wrist. But know that even though you're not going to be here with us physically, the impact and the legacy that you are leaving on this district will be here for years to come. So congratulations to you.
Our district. I know this isn't a huge gift, but we did try and do something. This is for you. So congratulations. And if you wanted to say a few words, you of course are more than welcome.
Thank you so much, Steve, for the really nice words for my wonderful peers for being here. I don't have a lot to say except that I just have been very lucky to, I started my career after his first career, and started at Stevenson, student teaching in Ginny Reed's classroom, which was the beginning. I'm going to see Ginny tomorrow, as a matter of fact, but it was the beginning of a great friendship and a wonderful career. And I taught for 25 years, and all but one of those was in Grandview. I had great opportunities here. People believed in me, and I believed in what was going on here, and it made it very easy to do all those incredible things that he says I did. I sound great. Sounds great. But I appreciate everything everybody's done for me. I appreciate all the kids that I taught that have gone through this district, and I love seeing them as they've grown up and become adults. And I'm not old enough, I don't think, for them to be the level of adults that they are, but apparently I am. So thank you again. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all that you do too. Thank you.
Sherry, will you get a picture? Steve, will you come up?
A rose between two thorns.
I would suggest, and if it's okay with you, Sherry, that the official acceptance of your retirement is pretty deep in our agenda, but I would accept a motion for D, personnel, 1, retirement, A, Sherry Brown, at this point from the board, if the board would like to. That would be D1A.
Move to approve D1A under personnel.
Second.
And I think we're really not allowed to not approve it, unfortunately. So. It's kind of how these things go. But is there any discussion from the board at this point? Sit here and talk about this motion as long as we can. And thank you, Steve. You certainly summed up what anybody, better than anybody else could, with the long relationship you've had. And I know that when we brought these two on board, Sherry was also an instrumental part of that process and had some discussions during that, how that process went. So, and I think that's worked out okay too. So always involved in leadership in the district. So, there's no other comments. Beth, I'll ask you to call and roll.
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannan?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasma?
Aye.
Congratulations.
You are retired.
Do you have any comments now that the vote's over? You really let it go. So, thank you so much. Recognition of guests are hearing of the public. At this point, rules are the same as they are, always are. We ask that you refrain from using staff names and staff and student names. State your name and address for the board. Keep comments under 5 minutes. And of course, remember this is a time to address the board, not to get into a debate. We'd certainly be able to follow up with any questions may have. Any hearing from the public at this time? And as always, you're more than welcome to speak before any action item in the agenda. We have lots of minutes to approve. As a reminder, A through D, April 29th, May 8th, May 8th, and May 16th, we were all present. So if I could have a motion to approve as a group the A through D on the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannan?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasma?
Aye.
Special board meeting on May 31st. Myself, Melissa, and Eric attended. So if I could have a motion for those.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannan?
Abstain.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasma?
Abstain.
F, special meeting on June 17th. Myself, Ms. Palmisano, Mr. Bodie, and Ms. Brannan attended. So I got a motion for that one, please.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannan?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasma?
Abstain.
All right. Building and department reports. Any discussion or questions from the board after the reports submitted in the packets?
I just would say it's amazing to read about the progress. I was looking at the high school, for instance, and the ACT data, the proficiency data, just how well we're at a high level and we keep making progress. One of the ones that stuck out to me was for ACT, all the different areas met. So the average across the state for students taking the test and meeting all 4 areas is less than 1 in 5, 19%, and our grade was 50%. 57%. That's amazing. I mean, that's three times the state average. So anyway, just was thrilled and I know there's so much that goes into that, but great to see it. Congratulations to everyone there.
I will say, as I think a broken record of everything in our packet, that's probably the most enjoyable and most probably meaningful for the board. So even though we haven't talked about it a lot, for those of you that prepare those reports, we do appreciate that. And I know it's become the behalf of the board.
Beth, we like the treasury reports too.
Thank you, Melissa.
That's another high point.
Right. Beth, treasurer's report, if you can make this quick, please. Okay.
So, a couple things I wanted to highlight before we actually get into the reports. I included a couple things with your financial reports at your table. The first one is a summary of our catastrophic cost reimbursements the last several years since we've been doing those. And we got our most recent for 2017-18. And the total amount we received was $42,180.06. And that's based on submitting 131,000 plus of eligible costs. So the good thing is we do get some of that back. The bad thing is if you look at that trend of percentages, you know, as budgets tighten up, school districts are going for more and more, every last dollar that they can get. So there is a pot of money, and depending on how many districts submit and how much they submit for, it's split. So the declining percentage indicates more submissions for that
this
money.
This is all related to special needs funding?
It is. So it is, it's in general, it's if we have significant costs for special ed students, the threshold is just under 30,000. So any students that we spend more than that on for educating them and providing related services, we could submit just that excess to be eligible for reimbursement. So that's just kind of a snapshot of what that has looked like the last several years. There were some significant changes this year in the submission process, and it was very last minute. The training, I think there was less than 2 weeks between the training date and the due date. So it was pretty significant in terms of process and all that. So, but we are, we have realized quite a bit of money over the last 5 years from that. So just wanted to share that.
Well, can I ask a question?
Sure.
About that? So it's not like an insurance explanation of benefits where they decide they're not going to cover certain things. It's just really a reflection of the entire pool of requests.
Correct. That is correct. Yes. So a couple other things I wanted to share. I think you guys all know back on May 20th, we had a rating presentation with S&P 500, S&P Global in Chicago, and our bond rating actually went from a AA to a AA+, which is a big deal for us. Our bonds were actually sold on June 5th, and the closing was actually yesterday, so the cash in the bank was actually yesterday. So that went off without a hitch. I've actually been working with Meter Investments and have already transferred over, based on the draw schedule for our construction project, I've already transferred over the amount that we're looking at investing for the near term at least. So more to come on that. So the financial reports that we're going to go over are actually May reports. I will say Jenny and I got our books reconciled just today to close out June. So I'll have more to come soon with our June reports. And then just one other thing I wanted to kind of highlight, and we'll talk a little bit more about a couple finance committee meetings that we have had recently. But the one topic that has come up and we're gonna take a look at our next meeting is what financial reports we actually look at here. So we may have some discussion and some recommended changes, and we'll kind of talk through those and kind of see where we land, and so more to come on that, but you may see some changes here going forward. So with that, if you take a look at your May financial packet, so a couple things you may notice that I have moved just under $2.5 million into Star Plus. So Star Plus interest rate went around Star Ohio again. So Star Plus was at 2.55, Star Ohio was 2.5. And the reason why I didn't move more is because there are tiers within that Star Plus system. So only the first 2.5 million is subject to that higher rate. Anything above 2.5 million would be a lower rate. So as long as those rates are fall in that manner, we'll keep 2.5 million in there and the rest in Star Ohio and the US bank accounts. So, you know, as I mentioned, we did get those bond proceeds. Next month on here, you'll see two new accounts, one new Star Ohio account for the construction fund, and then one new US bank investment account for the construction fund. So, so more to come with that. Overall, our cash balance at May 31st is the 11.7 million. You can see at the bottom of the page there. The next several pages of reports are the U.S. bank, the operating account, the funds that we are not using right at the moment from our operating fund that we're investing. And part of the reason why I included this statement is it was something that, before our bond rating agency, that's one thing that those rating agencies, kind of a positive thing is that the board sees those investment reports. So that is part of the reason why I did start including those. I know there's a lot of information on there but anyway, just so you can kind of have an idea of that breakdown. So the general fund history report on the next page. So looking at fiscal year 19, just a couple things I wanted to point out. Tax revenue, you do see a drop this year. We've talked about there were about $1.2 million of refunds on TIF parcels that took place in FY19. So really what that means is the last 3 years of taxes have been overstated. They've given us too much. And then this fiscal year 19 is actually less than what it is to make up for that in the simplest terms. So the only other thing under expenditures I was going to point out, the part of the increase in general fund, we did start funding the one-to-one computers, the Chromebooks and the iPads out of our general fund, which frees up a little bit more money for facility needs out of our PI fund. So looking at the general fund budget to actual, nothing unusual here. You can see our revenue is pretty close to what our estimates were. Again, the taxes we talked about. The Grandview Yard, at the time we were putting the five-year forecast together, we were just working with Umball, Baker Tilly now, to get those projections, and those had not quite been finalized. That $3.5 million budgeted was a full calendar year, and because it was a new year under that agreement, we got half of our fiscal year is under the new increased compensation agreement. So there is a difference there, and that is why. Overall, our general fund balance, the $9.6 million, you can see at the bottom. I did have a reserve for that TIF revenue that we're expected to transfer. That actual number is about $1.5 million once everything was finalized, and that is actually on the agenda tonight, a transfer into that separate fund to earmark that money for debt service. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then the last...
Just the transfers out.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between what was planned. Just what is that?
The $989,000?
Yeah, yeah.
So actually what that is the rest of that TIF revenue for debt service that I'm actually asking for the board to approve in June. And it'll be reflected on next month's report.
Okay.
So.
I see.
And then the last two pages are just the permanent improvement fund, the detail of the permanent improvement fund. What we have spent, what we have received. The last handout that I provided, the kind of two pages that are stapled together, That is the final exhibit. It came at like the 11th hour today. I think I sent it to Haley at about 3 o'clock today. So this is the preliminary 1920 budget for all of our funds. So it was in that final packet. It's online right now, but if you looked at the packet before 3 o'clock today, this was not in there. So just the detail on that. That's all I have, Jason.
I have a motion to approve the May 2019 financial reports and payment of the May 2019 bills.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion or questions from the board? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannan?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
And Ms. Wasmith?
Aye.
All right, on to committee reports. Got a little bit of a core team update. We're on a slideshow for our guests if you want to follow along. All this will be online for anybody to see. So essentially, we're not going to spend tons and tons and tons of time on this, but the first thing, just to remind the board, this is sort of our This is our design schedule. We gives you a sense of where we are in the process, both sided on there. And then in addition to that, there's a core team meeting, usually a call, sometimes in person, each Friday at 2:30 that Eric and I attend. And I feel like we're doing it a lot quickly and really wanted to make sure the board was comfortable with where we are in the process at this point and sort of what the immediate steps are moving forward. Very soon will be towards the end of design, and Doug or Andy or anybody or Eric, correct me if I get this not quite right. Towards the end of design development, there will be another value engineering process the board will need to go through as we get into some of those details. So that's when we'll kind of get in the weeds. And then, once design development's done, we go into construction document, it becomes very difficult to change anything. And so we felt it was important to share with the entire board a pretty detailed packet of a lot of the things that we've been seeing in the core team, the most up to date. This is still a draft. There's things in here that aren't finalized, but I will say to the board, if there's things in here that you have issue with, you need to pretty quick talk to Eric or me or Andy, because in a month or two or three, the answer will be, well, sorry, you have an issue with it, because we don't want to pay for change orders and those sorts of things. So if I may, I am going to go through this. I apologize that it's not page numbered, so we'll kind of go through it together relatively quickly, and then we can stop, and we have Moody Nolan and MKSK here and our owners rep here. We can certainly answer any questions that we have go through. First thing, just a reminder of where we are in the process. We're getting right towards the end of design development in that June-July time frame. Getting into construction documents. We've been right on our planning schedule all along. As we know, time is money. The first three slides, and actually may ultimately be, it seems to be recently sort of the bulk of a lot of our discussion, really talks about the site. And I think it's important to look at the existing conditions, which is that first slide for a second. Obviously, the red dotted line is the property line. And we own what's in the middle of that property line, including obviously where Fairview would go through. We're allowed to build on top of that turnaround. One thing that's important is the parking lot that's on the back of the high school now gets built on top of. So our budget essentially allows us to relocate that parking and not really reconfigure the other parking lots on the site. And so when you look at perhaps enhanced options and partnerships, that's one of the key things. There are certainly efficiencies to perhaps doing that. The second slide we call a baseline school improvement plan, right after existing conditions. This is in essence what's in our budget to do. It leaves the parking lot on First, leaves the parking lot on Oakland, leaves the parking lot on both sides of the existing high school. And this is similar to what you've seen before, although you can see there's a little bit more design playground. MKSK has gone through user meetings, very similar to what Perkinswell and Moody Nolan did with user groups to figure that out. And there's some slides later on to go into some detail on that, leaving the multi-purpose field. So, this is sort of where we land as a school. This is what this is what's within the budget. The taxpayers approved it, the bond issue. And then there's two other site plans in here. One is if the parking lot on First becomes a city-built community park, which the city has expressed some interest in at some point. Obviously, what that means is that parking has to be relocated. The plan all along, and from the Planning Commission at the city, and with our plans, is to keep the same number of parking spaces. Actually, what's been approved at Planning Commission, we're required to on site. And so, you know, if there is a park built there, there'd have to be some concession to build that second parking lot to facilitate that sort of need. And then the final slide is, you know, if Fairview extended, a possibility of what that could potentially look like. And so I think, you know, I think there's been a lot of discussion around that. I don't know if we as a board have any questions or discussions when it comes to the site, the discussions with the city. You know, I guess I'll start off to say, you know, look, you know, I feel like we do a pretty good job of being mission-centered around students as a school board, and we try to adopt policies and finances around that. And as I feel a little ill-equipped to make decisions about whether streets should be there or not there, one way, two way, and would really lie, you know, city council and mayors and those people ran because they have that expertise and passion for those sorts of things. And so, but, you know, obviously, we own some of the land, some of the city would potentially like to have with some of these options. So, Andy, I don't know if you want to sort of fill in on any of that, or if the board overall has any thoughts on that. And as a reminder, that we have, as a board, have voted nor have any position on Fairview. We have essentially gave the administration permission to have those discussions with the city, and you know, perhaps bring back a proposal at some point at options of what that may or may not look like.
The only thing I would add to that is just the timing consideration that I think we're recognizing that with our strict timeline, the time is money, there are a lot of deadlines, some very soon, and all the decisions on the different layouts with the street and all that won't be done in time for that. That doesn't mean that we have to hold up everything else. We proceed, there's certain bidding strategies, et cetera, that we have time, but just recognize that, you know, that is something that is a little bit different than our original plan.
Right.
Kind of breaking off that design, that decision process to be a little bit different timeline.
And I think what's and what's most important to me is when you work with the city is figuring out where the decision gets made and how it gets made. So if a resident comes to me and says, boy, I think it should be X or I think it should be Y, they know what I can help guide them to the channels to get that input correctly, you know, in the right spot. And, you know, I would obviously encourage the folks making those decisions to implore some sort of process in that.
So the difference between the slide labeled potential city acquisition and the one labeled civic spaces and places
is really Fairview going through, and then the civic spaces and places shows some outdoor learning area and really, you know, the sidewalk along Fairview Avenue on the school side of the building being really sort of enhanced as a bobcat way, where against the building there would be some enhancements there too.
Might I ask, why do we have outdoor there? This is the only spot that there's outdoor learning highlighted there.
Outside,
of course. Yeah, I know. I see both. I'm asking,
yeah.
Why is it here as opposed to the baseline?
So, in order to part of, so if you look at the baseline, that parking lot stays, the one on the east side of the building, and correspondingly, if there is some sort of process that manifests itself in Fairview going through, some of the site costs then would be picked up by and enhanced by the city, okay, which would allow us to enhance the site plan as you see here on this drawing.
So essentially the baseline site plan is about a $2 million site plan, of which $1 million is stuff you don't see and $1 million is stuff you do see. And you know, so moving the parking lot is part of it. But even if that parking lot wasn't there, there's not money in the budget to build anything there without some.
It's a financial, that's fine. I wonder why it has the parking highlighted on the civic space what I'm calling close to the track when there's parking there now?
So the sort of civic spaces and places, and I'm by no way trying to speak for that group, but the feedback we've heard is really looking at bridging the gap over Third. And so you can even see on this, Oakland is no longer offset on the upper right-hand corner where it is now. So it's actually reworking that entire parking lot too, which absolutely is not part of the scope of our project. And actually, we decided as a community not to address anything on that side of Third as part of our bond issue, to spend no money in that direction. So, you know, any money spent there would be.
So the impetus for that was when we attended the Planning Commission meeting, one of the takeaways from that meeting was make Third Avenue a pedestrian thoroughfare, that not a thoroughfare that is car friendly. In other words, we wanted to make it an extension of the high school for students, not vice versa.
Make it feel as if it's part of the campus,
yeah.
And not.
So again, that would require the city doing that.
You still drive it.
You still drive it.
That's just
correct.
It won't be your favorite route.
Right.
Would there be additional parking added in that as opposed to what is available now?
There's 160 spaces on site. And
asking about this specific
the
yeah.
lot.
I'm saying like by there. Would
same,
there be
same.
Same?
Parking's always the same.
Will there be... So essentially what we want to do is have this more pedestrian friendly, which means there's going to be more traffic on Oakland and Fairview Avenue. Will there be speed bumps? Will there be safety consideration, considering there could be 10-year-olds running across the road?
Those are really questions for the city.
That was it. That's fair.
I mean, once again, I don't think...
I didn't know if you knew.
I mean, I might have an opinion, but I think it's extremely unqualified. So.
I didn't know the latest intending a lot of city council meetings in the last few years. The current plan has Broadview grandfathered in on having speed bumps, but no other streets are currently allowed to have them in Grandview Heights.
Uh-oh.
So we'll have to go through some kind of process. That was someone that said reflect current policy.
Reflects the current mayor's desires.
There was a plan approved at some point that, and a lot of discussion about the Broadview speed bumps, I think, got put in after Fairview was closed off and they don't want to lose them. But right now, there's some kind of plan or overarching goal where there's no speed bumps anywhere in Grandview. So it would be a lot of, I only say that there would be city planning involved in that because we don't own those roads.
I mean, not to oversimplify,
we don't
because
maintain
this is. This is definitely complicated and affects residents beyond the school district and could have positive or negative effects on the school district depending on your view and how it goes. You know, I think as administration and certain board members, you know, we meet with the city and go through this. I think the first goal is to sort of figure out where the red line is ultimately. And if the red line changes, how it changes. And then, you know, one government entity plans one side of the red line and the other. And, you know, obviously, with collaboration, you don't want something that's disjointed together. But, you know, it seems to me from a budgetary, you know, from a community, who do you go to express your concern? There it is. You know, I mean, I personally don't think the school district should all get in the business of speed bumps or this road being one way or two way. Or, you know, and maybe I'm a minority of this board in thinking that way. I would be interested if we change the red line and I look at that city-built park on First Avenue. Once again, I know nothing about city planning. There's certain things that seem attractive about that. That's a big lot. And I'd be curious sort of the land value of that, you know, if that's something we might want to ultimately think about an appraisal for, have that discussion. It always makes you nervous to give up land, and we'll talk about this later, but, you know, central office is within this building complex. And part of the beauty of that is if the community continues to grow, we've got a lot of flex room in this without ever having to add an addition on the side, like displacing central office, where would it go? And so, you know, I mean, I think we need to logically think about those steps, and if we move that red line and it decreases our acreage, you know, what's the cost to the school district, which is our interest in doing that? You know, and I think it's important, it's not just that part, but that little Fairview extension is ours too. That's a big lot. you know, in Grandview terms.
So when they closed off Fairview the first time, did they gift us the land?
The land is ours.
Or it always
was
ours.
We did not pay for it. Yeah, the Fairview land is now within our property line, and I don't believe, whoever in here, from what I understand, that we paid for that. So there's a lot going on there. I will, the rest of this I think will be somewhat quicker. If you look at this slide, this is very much an enhanced site plan. The reason I wanted to show you this is the way that we're proposing to hand the NKSK to handle handicap access to the high school is sort of that curved sidewalk around. So you could go up the grade, and that would be like a sort of a main thoroughfare sidewalk where you go to the building. So that would be in our baseline plan to have that sort of curved sidewalk to get you level with the front door as you're going in.
So all, this is third.
Yes, I'm sorry. All the other enhancements are here are not in our budget. So if you look at sort of the trees and the blocking and the narrowing, I mean, that's actually not, but that curved sidewalk is.
Okay.
The next slide is the parking lot that Molly pointed out goes away. This is another thing, that's that outdoor learning space that, you know, honestly, that's one of the pieces that's not in our budget, but just an idea of what that could be if that parking lot went away, even down the road. I think our landscape architect said, look, if you leave that parking lot, it's always a parking lot. If you move it, you know, you initially have grass, you've got potential 10, 15, 20 years down the road to do something with it. So that's sort of the overview of the site. The next we get into the play areas, once again, the existing site. The next slide shows you sort of the existing playgrounds and where everything goes. And then the next three slides are virtually the same with some difference. And once again, I know this is a lot, so you're going to take some time to absorb this. But I do know that that our landscape architects met with a lot of user groups to go through the development of this, putting it together. I'm probably not really welcome to speak on those three, but we have those folks here. But those are the three sort of mix of hard space, soft space sort of areas. And what's in essence a 4A playground. This is not necessarily designed for little kids, which I think is part of the city's interest in the First Avenue Park, is my understanding. Right. So, any questions on outdoor play? And then we get to the exterior site, which is probably the slides that you're most used to and that we've put out there the most. Not a whole lot of noticeable changes on here. There are some, the windows above the entrance are a little shorter than they were. I mean, basically the changes in the exterior plan from what you've seen before are because of the value engineering we've done.
Right.
So remember, we went to the different glass and those sorts of things.
Cut off some chimneys.
Yep, cut off some chimneys. And so that's really the critical difference when you look at that. I will say we had if you look at the final slide that shows sort of the west and south or the west elevation, we did have in a community meeting some discussion about, you know, how what are you going to do to make the gym front match? In essence, nothing on that side. I mean, that's real tight. There'll be some landscaping, and they can do some little things to tie it in. But from a condition standpoint, that's facade's in good shape. So that wasn't part of the budget to replace that, because there's not really a deferred maintenance need. But that was a community comment.
You mean the orange brick thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just that gym entrance. It's a
right.
Little, so
okay.
We can do some things with the glass block and that sort of stuff to build it, but it's not going to be torn down in a new facade built.
Are you talking about that?
I'm actually talking about the east side that we don't have pictures here.
Yeah, we don't. This is the west, so it's the other side on the high street.
It's where you walk into the gym now, essentially.
From Fairview?
Yes. The floor plans, I think there's been a lot of adjustments here that have been sort of minor. I want to point out things that are different than what the board talked about. The one piece is just a reminder that they really reworked the nurse's clinic. So that's in the middle of a building, so one staff member will have that as separate high school and middle school sides. There was a lot of not so much from the board or the core team, but my understanding from the user groups, a lot of concerns about what kids you keep separate, particularly if they're in that environment and have those needs. And so I think once again, sort of out of my realm, but I think relatively well designed, where there's absolute complete two different entrances. This kid's gonna be separate, so if you're dealing with an issue with a fifth grader or a 10th grader, that, you know, you can do that discreetly. The page after that gets into some of the detail, the special ed classrooms. Once again, that's mostly two architects and our special ed staff, and Dr. Harbo have worked really hard on a lot of those pieces. The media center, which is a following slide, has changed a little bit. And I know Eric was happy about this. There were a lot of conference rooms around the edge, and some of those got cut out to make the core media center bigger. To orient yourself, the media center will open that way. And these two windows are in that wall, if that makes sense. And then you also have the skylights in that area. So we will get two nice sized windows in there and have the skylight. So even though it's in the interior of the building, it makes a nice large media center. At this point, that media center is just open to the hallway.
Okay.
So it's sort of a mix. If you remember back with some of our programming, there were discussions about the media center sort of being the hallway. I mean, just an old building that doesn't really work, but it's just open to the hallway there, and gives us that sort of space. But there's closed off rooms around that media center, and most of that furniture is mobile, so it can be opened up or shifted around. One of the changes that I'm a fan of is, you know, we really talked about locker placement quite a bit. There will still be 500. The idea was there'd still be 500 lockers for the five grade levels, 4-8. After a lot of discussion with the users, decided to make the fourth and fifth grade classroom cubbies, which I think is what you typically see in a K-5 building. And that puts all those in the rooms, and then you won't have the traditional lockers. I'm a big fan of that. They'll be built in, they look good. It also gives you a lot of flexibility because, you know, we departmentalize fourth and fifth grade, and that's not always the case. Some schools will have two teachers split, some teachers just have one fourth grade teacher and one fifth grade teacher. And if that was ever a model 4 or 5 years down the road, you know, that'll still fit. This facility will accommodate any of our current model, a split level model, or a self-contained model for fourth and fifth grade. So really keeps fourth and fifth grade really more like a typical elementary sort of space.
That's good.
And then the middle school on the top up floor has the lockers. I think that'll be nice. It also, in a selfish way, so it sort of makes it clean. You know, have those lockers down there in that entrance hallway, makes the spaces wider. And I just think we'll feel more elementary. So, excited about that. The upstairs locker configuration, it's just hard to fit lockers when you've got collaborative spaces, open spaces. And if you look, there's both two-tier locker and one-tier lockers in there. They were able to keep them close to the academic spaces. Some of the other plants had them down the hall in a locker area and those sorts of things. So certainly important to our kids are those lockers. And then you look at also looking at art displays and those sorts of things, you know, as we get into it. The loading area plan, I don't know if you remember, we had a tunnel that went all the way out. We decided to do a lift out panel within the garage. That ultimately saved the budget about $30,000 to do that. And then that allows us, I think Brett's still a little worried about the dumpsters, and there has to be some discussion with the city about maybe can trash pick up be twice a week instead of once a week.
Twice a week. I've sent it.
So, you know, there's once again, the collaboration of the city is important. Probably the most exciting here are this last stack of slides that starts to show you what things look like. Yes, I'm sorry.
Are there lockers in the high school?
Yes, but not one for kids.
Is it in here? Did I miss it?
You know what?
Display.
I don't believe we had the locker slide. I think they're in the front part of the two main hallways. Is that right, Rob? You worked with the architects on the locker placement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly where they were.
And you worked with the students to come up with the number?
Yes.
All right. So he's a high school locker. So it's 100 lockers, 912, right?
Correct.
Is it like key rental?
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far
okay.
with it yet, but most students said that they don't use them, and they just take up space. They didn't want them, so we kind of got down to that 100 number, about a third of the kids. So we were going to figure out a way to, yeah, sort of have sort of like a
okay.
longer rental situation.
All right.
Jesse?
Yes.
The other thing I mentioned about the floor plan, I can't remember exactly where we last left the board, but just with the central office space.
Yes, that's very important. Thank you.
Coordinated. So that's basically the hallway in between two schools.
That's the 2 feet extension on the gym.
By the gym.
Yes.
That's where central office went.
Actually, that's not accurate because the 2 feet extension went inside the gym. So it didn't extend upstairs.
Me say that the two feet additional we were given in the easement to bring us 2 feet closer to Oakland. That did on the inside adjustment, right?
But the line that we have central office didn't move. So had we not gone that 2 feet, central office would look the same. Because the 2 feet got added to the inside of the gym.
We increased the bleachers.
But there was plenty of room to do that. So I think thank you, Eric, for that. That's really important. We've had some discussion about, when we talked about this, that there would be a corridor that connected the 4-8 building to the high school building. And I think it's really important for the board and the community to understand the upstairs corridor is flanked by central office. There are a set of fire doors that can be shut depending on how you want to use it. Those can be shut or open during the day. That's up to our administration and teachers to figure out how to use that. So the upstairs is really segregated. And then the downstairs, it's a hallway between the two gyms. So that's sort of how that corridor came to be. I think people may have pictured more of a freestanding hallway, but it certainly, when you just look at the outside building, it's like, wow, it's one building. But I mean, on the inside, it'll be distinct.
Right. And with the movement of central office to, I want to say, closer to by the gymnasium, how much academic space did we gain by that room?
So it created another flex classroom.
Okay.
It created an additional flex classroom and moved the swing classroom that was in the middle to kind of the academic core area.
Yeah. So when people are saying things like we have it's now the second grade bubble.
Yeah.
When things come up, if we have classes of bubbles, we essentially have two more classrooms.
So there's two there would be two flex classrooms.
That's what I was after.
And there also are swing classrooms.
Perfect. Thank you.
I mean, so
there's some building capacity.
That's.
I think that's really what you're asking. Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's important because I mean I really like the exterior design of this, but we have designed a building. Our experts have designed a building that really bookends on both sides, so it would be difficult. There's not a back to add on to, essentially to the building. I mean, and so that could be challenging. So I think it is important to understand that. You don't want to build space before you need it, but there's a lot of flexibility for growth in this building, and I think we feel very confident even if enrollment goes much higher or goes higher than what our projections show, we'll be fine within this space, which is good, which is really good. You look at the material palette, this gets more into sort of design and colors. You may recognize this from a little exercise called branding. And so our design team, I believe Moody Nolan, was really able to take that work that was done as a district and brand it and not start completely from scratch. There was a lot of discussion about keeping the public spaces perhaps more simplified and the academic spaces more colorful. And so that's where you see the sort of two palettes in there. And so you get into material, paints, floors, and all this sort of stuff and really start looking at the samples and then that really is what gets laid down into these proposed spaces. Now this is really where we're still in a draft mode, but we won't be for very long. So if you're seeing stuff in these images that you don't like, you gotta speak up about that.
But these are, I think importantly, these aren't random images that you're seeing. These are images based on the design, actual.
So the first three images in the new middle school addition, this would be walking into the entrance. And there's three distinct ones. This one has, the first one's a large logo. The difference between the first and the second, based on feedback, is the logo got smaller. And then the circle in the ceiling got rid of the blue.
And on the right, there are displays.
Art displays, yeah. And then the third one kind of gets rid of the circle in the ceiling. So that's some of the design outlets. That's just a sort of artificially lit circle, it's not skylight.
Yeah, so if I may, So this obviously is walking in the main entrance of the 4-8 building. To the right would be the 4-8 admin offices. If you were to walk straight, that's the media center, and you can see the cafeteria on through the glass on the other side. The stairwells up would lead to the academic spaces, grades 6-8. And then 4-5 academic spaces would be to the right and left on the main floor.
So this doesn't show the security part, right?
And the secure vestibule, correct, would be behind you.
But and it would lead you to the office on the right,
correct.
Like the high school does now?
That's correct.
Is there any consideration to making the high school entrance wider like this? Like a little
so
bit
they have, I think in
well,
this.
We have a picture of that. We talk about that. The two, and I don't believe the slide was in here, we have what walls are structural in the high school and which aren't.
Oh.
And if you remember, the second floor of the high school, front of the high school, was originally a big study hall.
There it is.
Right, right.
Which means those two downstairs
this
walls
is the high school.
Are structural.
Oh, I see.
I mean, those two going in,
so
you wouldn't think they would be, but it's because there's such an unstructural expanse above it. So those would be...
And one of the
extremely
I mean,
expensive.
And if I may, I'm skipping here just a little bit. One of the things that I think you guys, I'm speculating you might like to hear, because I happen to think it's a really neat idea. As you know, we have murals painted on the walls throughout this building.
Yeah.
So one of the ideas, this is the high school main entrance, is to put a digital screen here. Capture all of the images and have them scroll on the screen as you enter. You could also do other things, but that's like one idea I thought was kind of neat.
And they are looking at it, just so we know, all the student artwork that's on the wall is getting captured. He's got Mark Alter on that, so because they won't be saved as part of the process, but we will save them in some way to display and be part of Mark Alter. So I think that's an important piece. An image of the media center, once again, all sort of portable furniture, all these bookshelves can move around. That space can be opened up or closed. Once again, the 2-foot ceiling in there. The one following the media center, this is an image of the collaboration space that there are 5 of in the high school, one for each grade level. So those are those classrooms, the 4-core and the flex classrooms with the garage doors that open. If you remember through our value engineering, we at this point kept a separate ceiling over the collaboration space than the hallway and different floor tones. I mean, that's, as opposed to always a potential value engineering that would all be the drop ceiling, but it's looking like we've got a pretty economical option for a different ceiling. That was all over the space. We eliminated a lot of that except for the collaboration spaces. The next is the middle school gym. Once again, Melissa mentioned, that's 2 foot wider, which does get a whole additional row of bleachers along the side that has the graphic. Another detail, if you look above the graphic, those windows, that's allowing central office and that collaboration space to steal some light from the gym, because those are interior, so they'll feel bigger with that. The next one is the commons. That has, when we went down to the 1 skylight versus the 2 with value engineering, some electronic displays and those sorts of things. We'll talk a little bit about the graphic on the upper right wall here in a second, but that's what the commons looks like in the middle school. Got a lot of discussion and debate and perhaps disagreement among your 2 core team board members, about this graphic on this wall, and I'm not sure that this is necessarily the time to get into it, because I think we've asked our design team to continue to look at options. The community feedback for the 2 options we have was, I'd say,
lukewarm at best.
Focus on people that were there. Some people loved what was on this slide. Some people did not. This is the old Edison Middle School, small place to dream big. If you look one after it, it was one of the original that we said.
People seem to like the lighter tone of this and the more academic. Than the blue wall that was initially presented. However, the debate seems to be.
Yeah, so if you go to this slide, we have separate slides for all of these, but these were sort of the ones where they sit now, and I'm not sure that any of these are sort of where we're landing. There's really debate of how kid-centered is this? Does it really feel like a 4-8 building? I'm trying to, in all candor, I really like the option three here, and I think Eric made a very good point about, you know, does it feel too corporate for a school? I still like it, but I think that's good feedback, and I think we may get that feedback from other folks. So we need to look at how to solicit more feedback. I mean, ultimately, they're all going to be the same to maintain. They're all going to look better than the Commons wall now. You know, I mean, it's a good problem to have, but I would say we haven't landed on even one in here yet. And my real question is, you know, what's the process to land on one?
What is that made of, the buildings? Is it like?
I'm told it's like a wallpaper.
What are those fat heads?
Fat stickers.
Yeah. For lack of a better word, similar.
We can do a lot of different things. No, we do.
I'm like, if you look at it, if you look back.
So the answer is no. I guess you could leave it white.
Because it's when you look at the collaboration space, there's a lot of white. There's, I'm going to say this, the media center, there's a lot of white. It is big for that sucker. Sometimes I think we as adults get very into branding and logoing, which isn't good. We have it coming in, it'll be everywhere. Do we need every single thing covered with Grandview Heights? And I also think about overload on students, like, could it be nice just to have a blank wall? You know what I mean? Like, if there's lukewarm response, if no one's really gung-ho, there's a lot of argument.
Yeah.
We have to have it.
I think that's good feedback.
It's one, and this is off of the Commons.
Yeah, the new middle school Commons.
Middle school cafe.
So that wall is essentially the exterior of the high school gym.
If it's a lighter shade, it would be a very reflective of the natural light, which would make it a brighter space. Sometimes I think blank can be clean. I'll leave it there.
I can appreciate that, but I also think in a way that's like an opportunity to inspire the kids. Like, so, like, to me, if we put something that's of our identity as Grandview and what we value, like, it kind of makes you feel like something bigger than yourself, you know?
I hear what you're saying. I think there's a lot of logoing in the school.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
where
I mean,
I'm like.
Yeah.
You know, a thought that I think our design professionals and owners rep would not like. You have to remember, we're going to open a middle school and put high schoolers in it. And so we're going to have a building sitting there for a year and a half before it's used as a middle school. And so there's some potential to leave it blank. And through some process, once it's seen with our community, or probably even better with our kids, decide what we do with that space.
So I will say this. One of the things that we will do at our next community meeting in August is there will be updated versions of this, and we will solicit feedback from the community. We have one that is leave it white.
Yeah,
or off white.
Or off white. Yeah.
What's that doing? It's a decision, and I think that's a good point.
Right.
But there's, because when you look at it, I'm looking at, is this option 5 for the graphic, and then option 3. You could leave it. See, you could put a Hall of Fame up there. You could do any number of things.
The one thing that
blank slate might not be bad.
I think it's a good point. So big picture, I wanted the board, and I appreciate this feedback, to really see sort of the options that are there. And I don't think we've landed on it, but I wanted you to sort of know where it were. I think the other sort of thing when you're looking at all these images, and I always think about Stevenson. Like, I always leave Stevenson feeling good about that building, even if it's during kids' club and there's not stuff going on. And I wonder why, because if you look at it, the floor's cracked, the ceiling's thin. It's because of the kids' stuff. And you don't get that in these images.
Yeah.
It will be here. You know, it'll be here. Like this, you don't get, we're not getting the important stuff in these pictures. You know, these collaboration spaces are stark. There's not projects sitting out. There's not. That will be there, and bulletin boards and that sort of stuff. So I think that's also, all these images look a little stark for that reason.
Like, if you were in my classroom right now, it is blankety blank blank blank. I'm like, give me about 2 days.
Yeah.
We will have fire code violations, many, but there's sometimes it's, I think we're looking at this as adults.
Excellent point.
The high school lobby, I think Andy already mentioned sort of some of the ideas there. Once again, Debbie, as I mentioned, is our structural wall, so we're somewhat limited. We even talked about maybe angling them out and getting more of like a lobby space, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So, what kind of flooring is this?
I don't know. What's it called?
I'm sorry.
Once again, the budget size draws our floors in for both entrances, which we have that, and you can see that in the material palette. What I really want, this collaboration space is the next one that says high school renovation. We've had some discussion here. This is the one that's in that single story sort of stick out. We've had some discussion here about making it, for lack of a better word, more industrial. Do you leave the concrete floor? Do you open up the ceiling? So the design team is actually working on another rendering. This is just making it match the current collaboration spaces, and
right.
There's something to be said for that.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense. The next one, although it doesn't really show in the picture, would be doing a concrete floor and just painting everything black above and not putting a drop ceiling in. And you know, this is existing construction, so you're going to get what you get up there. And then we talked about, could you also some way treat those walls in a more industrial way? And so we'll have some more renderings of what those two options look like as we go down. But I think they can...
A lot more of the industrial.
Yep.
Building has a lot of it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of
and that's right outside where the first robotics rooms will be and the Lego rooms
right.
will be. And,
I think that's
and Brad's the clean shop and dirty shop and all those sorts of things will be right there. So it almost gives you permission to make that an extension of that space. But I think everyone in the construction, they want to be very clear that an unfinished concrete floor doesn't mean a polished concrete floor that can get pretty expensive. I mean, it looks sort of like these pictures. And we'd want to be comfortable with that in an opening of $55 million building. I personally think it would be kind of cool if everything else is done around it, but I think it would make the space perhaps a little more functional for our kids in the realm of what's going on in that space. But once again, they're both good options to have. The next pictures are renderings of the room we're in. Once again, wherever you see those two exterior windows, that's in the wall behind Beth, the fiction wall. And so it does reorient the library quite a bit, and it gives us some space. And so we went ahead and had several slides in here because I think that's a pretty special space for our high school kids.
Do you think putting that desk in the overall thing, it looked right in the middle? Like, would you still have room to?
I don't think that's been fully developed. The circulation desk and the. And I think we talked about that perhaps being a mobile option. I know the middle school definitely wanted a mobile circulation desk so you can push it out. I'm not sure we've completely.
Well, as much as we rearrange this room for different functions, I just
it needs to be flexible.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
No, that's a good point. This is essentially the slide after the library is. I mean, we're not calling it a cafeteria because the idea wasn't to build a cafeteria. It's certainly the collaboration space that sort of
in the high school.
Yeah. So. And if you remember, it's sort of catty corner to the other one that could be more industrial. So there's I think the advantages in this thing is you make them match so you can use them the same, or you make them separate so one purpose and one's for the other. But during those lunch times, kids will have both of those places to sort of gravitate to. And at this point, it still has the enhanced ceiling in it to sort of separate it. It's a collaboration space.
Cool.
And then the auditorium, that's just a picture of where we are. When you look at these sample pictures of other auditoriums, none of that is what we're fully doing or in the budget, but it was really looking at sort of prioritizing what would you want to do in the auditorium. And from the core team, our feedback has been really functionality. It's more important to us that the kids have a good sound system,
right.
good lighting system, good traffic flow than it is to put a bunch of real fancy stuff on the wall that looks good. You know, what's good for acoustics? And Andrew Grega, I think, with the whole music area has been pretty... instrumental with them and under. I mean, Andrew could spend $10 million in the space tomorrow, I'm sure, but he's, I think, doing a good job of prioritizing what really is going to, make our kids be heard the best, acoustically the best, lit the best within that space. So I know that was long, but I feel it was really important to put this in your hands, because I feel like week after week it doesn't feel like we're necessarily doing a lot, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, we had a lot we need to share with the overall board. We can certainly talk about more now, but I'm sure there's a lot in there that you want to take and process. But in all honesty, time's pretty critical. And you know, once we do that value engineering after design development, like we're not able to change much without paying for it. And to pay for it means you're not getting something else, because the budget's the budget. So I know that was probably our world's longest core team update. Doug, Steve, do you guys have anything to add? Or do you have any questions for them? They can certainly answer better.
How did he do? Brief and everything.
Took too long, right, Doug?
No, perfect.
So any other questions there? All right, please do take time to go through that. You know, we have said all along the board has the final decision in these things, and that's true to what we can afford in the process. And so if there are things that it may just be you need a question, understanding, certainly feel free to share this packet with friends and neighbors. We'll have all this stuff on the website, and we want people to look at that, but understand everything's still a draft until that construction document is done. So, okay. Finance Committee. Does that have a packet?
We have a packet. We have met multiple times, I think, since the last official meeting. Part of what we're working on is thinking about the bond issue and the money we're getting from Yard and how we want to portray that with different funds. And Beth had some very good ideas and consulted with different people. So we don't have that written up yet, but we're kind of thinking about how do we set ourselves up for success and have a report that makes sense that can be replicated and we can report on over the years to the taxpayers and anyone else about how we're using the Yard funds and how that fits in with the construction project. So more to come on that, but no, it was a good discussion. As Beth mentioned, we're starting to look at the packet of the materials that we have, maybe getting some stuff that's a little more user-friendly, and get some good ideas around that, but we're just starting. And then some significant discussion around the Marble Cliff Mansion on Fifth Avenue that the village has started acting on and has rezoned and is looking at a Community Reinvestment Act sort of approach that would involve some tax abatements that affect us that eventually we'll have to vote on, at least as proposed now. So we have kind of talked with different people, heard what they had to say, have some thoughts back that we are sharing with them, appropriate channels, and as of today, don't have anything to propose to the board. Still working on trying to get to an agreement on an acceptable compromise around the tax abatement. Anything else that I'm missing, Melissa?
Yeah. The village has a community reinvestment area already in place. They've never used it. It's similar to what we've dealt with in Grandview Heights, and they've been working. I know I've been reporting on it for a long time about this development plan, and it went from an initial 77 units down to 37 units. So whether it was always the plan or not, the request for a tax abatement is much higher than we were anticipating. I think the village was anticipating, but dropping the density from 77 to 37 and having to preserve the mansion, apparently that has made the cost of the project go up so much that without a tax abatement of some sort, and a high one, the request is for 100%. 100% for 12 years for the renovation, which is would be the mansion itself being turned into four units, and then it's 100% for 15 years for the remainder of the development.
And actually, some provisions around keeping current level of tax. So yes. It's not really, it's 100%, but there is some
make
makeup,
whole payment.
A little bit, but very small. They're wanting to start soon.
So as a reminder, you know, any abatement over 50% of local board of education would have to approve. So there's been a lot of that in the community that we've been abreast of, but that haven't been decision-making. And this is one that there may be a proposal for the financing for that. for the full board to consider. I'd like to thank both of you. I feel like Finance Committee is one of those things that there are times that you go to meeting, we haven't met, and then all of a sudden a lot happens, and I know you guys have had hours and hours and hours of meetings, and you know, I think that's really critical, you know, to do it right, and to continue to partner with the village and city government. So, you know, I see all that time, and I know I certainly appreciate it. Policy?
We have 5 up on the new read, so I'll cover them later.
Okay, awesome. Teaching and learning?
No new updates. What else? Wellness, Start Talking. There's a great, the Start Talking Grandview and is partnering. We're going to have Judge McIntosh, who has a special docket for, you know, a diversion program away for
substance abuse.
Yeah,
substance diversion.
That's what I was looking for. Substance. I'm like alcohol and drugs.
Substance.
Anyway, so there's a big, really great meeting that's going to be in November,
awesome.
14th. One of our own students who's recovered and gone through that judge's program will be there speaking. That's it.
Communications?
Our newsletter dropped, hit every mailbox in Grandview and Marble Cliff. We continue to meet, and additionally, we just submitted the superintendent's This Week article. We have a meeting in two weeks from Friday is our next meeting.
One thing that sort of falls in communications with districts we will consider, and we haven't really started having the discussions yet because we're still looking at the best time frame, but you know, at some point we'll have a groundbreaking coming up, and so our communications team, you know, we may want to look at expanding to our alumni base and some other folks. You know, those can look a lot of different ways, but I feel like, you know, we don't do that often here, and I think we should perhaps make that a, you know, a bigger deal.
Yeah.
You know, I know some districts where they're, you know, doing 5 groundbreakings in a row, it perhaps isn't, but I think for us it's a big deal, and mm-hmm. can really spark. You know, it's funny, different levels of involvement. I always talk about the city pool. Like, I knew what the pool was going to look like when the sign went up on the fence out front of it, you
right,
know what
right.
I mean? And then I still think, you know, once we get to that phase, we can perhaps engage some more of our community and stakeholders than we have before. So, that's good. Education Foundation?
It always subbed for me at the last meeting.
Excellent.
We talked a lot about the gala coming up. Gala or someone?
I
go with
Gala. It'll be at the Greek Orthodox Church. I don't have the date off the top of my head, in February. We talked a lot about cost, how to get people interested. A lot about the Gala.
Awesome.
How to get people interested, things to do. They had given money to the first robotics. I left my notes out of the car. But
and you're on OSBA legislative?
Legislative, OSBA has, I'm looking for my notes. The big thing that is going on is the biennial budget, so House Bill 166, that was gonna give $675 million education. And it passed out of the House, and the Senate got to it, and they added long-term graduation requirements. They removed part of House Bill 154, which would undo House Bill 70, which was state takeover. I could do more acronyms if you wanted to. And then they wanted to set up a committee to do this, to work on report cards. OSBA has come out very negatively against the Senate changes to the biennial budget and are encouraging all of us to call our representatives and senators. OSBA was very for what the House passed, and then the Senate got in. I want to say they're taking $125 million from the budget and moving it to vouchers. So as a public school, we have feelings about that. So if you can, reach out to your senator. I think ours in Grandview is Senator Herschel Craig. And he is not in support of it. So that's legislative from OSBA, and that's pretty quiet in OSBA.
City?
You touched on the collaboration on the spaces and places and Fairview, and there's a lot going on trying to figure out that piece and what it looks like.
Superintendent's report, Mr. Paul.
So I'm not going to read it. I do want you to know, though, that I did attach the This Week article. It does a really nice job kind of summarizing a lot of really great things happening in the district. So we decided to mix it up a little bit in terms of my superintendent's report and attach that. I do want to say just three things. Number one, I do want to thank our core team, our construction team, our owner's rep, and our architects for their tireless collaboration and work, and them listening to our community and to our staff in and throughout the entire design, schematic design process. You know, I don't do this every day. I have been a part of construction projects in two previous districts, and I can't think of a better team in my experience. So I wanted to say that. I wanted to also just, as a reminder, Haley, thank you for all you do in preparation for this, and all of the work and hours that you work. You are inseparable from our success, so I thank you. And then finally, I would be remiss if I didn't say best wishes to our EILMS principal, who is going to Granville. I know that she will do great things there, as she has here. So I wish her the very best.
Under curriculum instruction, we have one item for approval. The K-12 parent handbook, I believe the deadline changes were sent out today.
Compared to prior years.
So I have a motion for the approval of the 2019-20 K-12 student parent handbook.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion or questions from the board? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wassman?
Aye.
Board policy and procedure, I'll turn it over to you in just a second, Molly.
Okay.
There are three items listed. Your packet has five items, and so I'd like the minutes to reflect that we're doing the first reading on all five. D would be policy BJA, liaison with school board association, and policy E would be EHB, use of electronic signature. So all five were in the packet, all five were in the information sent, just not on the agenda, but I'd like to count all those as a first reading for today. So Molly.
The committee is recommending BJA and JEFB. BJA is OSBA, teacher in the acronyms here, OSBA with the possibility of joining NSBA. It's saying that we can take advantage of their things, but it's not saying that we have to join them. So to me, it looks like there's nothing but perks there. It's not saying that any way, shape, or form we have to do anything, but we would be advantage of more that they have to offer. The release time for religious instruction is included with the House Bill 171. There's no changes to the policy for us, so we can go ahead and adopt it. I am going to defer to Ms. Collier on EHB for electronic signature. Do you want to tell us why that's a no, or why?
So I think EHB, if I'm not mistaken, Sean, we're mm-hmm. not adopting EHB, correct?
Correct.
We're
yeah.
recommending not adopting that, but I didn't know if you want to speak to why more.
Oh, I don't think it, I don't think we've ever had that
never
as a policy.
Used,
we've
never, done it,
we've
so.
Never used it, and I don't see any reason to change.
And then KJA, we are not recommending, because this would say, like right now with school materials being distributed, it's version A is we would recommend this person, you're free to do your own. With version 2, it's saying that we would only be allowing one group, so choose to come and distribute materials needed for schools.
So we're doing like no change.
We're doing no version one is what we have
no change,
now.
Right.
Right. So that is what we're going to recommend. And I'm going to defer to Mr. Hinkle on EDE for computer online services.
Yeah, this just because we have the devices going home at the lower grade levels next year, and our student handbook simply states to refer to board policy EDE as far as acceptable use goes. So Chris and I made some changes, and then we sent those off to Derek Haggerty to get checked and make sure that everything. So we've done that, and that's reflected in the packet that you have as well.
Any questions from the board? No action. That's the first reading, and we will put those on the next agenda for approval. We have lots of items under business and finance, and we actually have one addition. Under 18 general fund advance, there was a fund left off, which is 022-9102 staff technology purchase, $3,256.20. So I would ask for a motion on C1 through 23 with that addition to 18 general fund advance.
This is a budget. This is a budgeted numbers. This is real money, right?
Number 18?
Yeah.
Those are temporary advances or temporary loans from the general fund to these other funds until these other funds receive their funding.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So like Band-Aid. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we have a couple outstanding purchase orders in the band fund that cover items that the band parent association will later reimburse us for. So we haven't received the
nice.
Money, so we pay for them up front,
okay.
and then we get reimbursed. So that's what those are. Several of these are grants that we'll receive after June 30th, after the fiscal year end. That staff technology purchase, those are payroll deductions. There's two more pay periods that will repay that. And then class of 2021, they had to put a deposit down for prom for next year, and they didn't have enough money. So.
I have a motion on C1 through 23 with that addition under 18 for staff technology purchase.
So moved.
I'll second.
Let's discuss.
Discussion.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot of things we want to discuss. So, you have something initially you want to start?
Well, one, I just want to note that I think with the library, the last time it came, we were hoping to have someone from the library present this next time. I don't believe today we have someone from the library. So maybe just a plan for outreach to them next time with an expectation that, I can't remember, Melissa, if that was you who brought that up last time, but certainly.
We had somebody here when we had to do the approval for them to go on the ballot.
Ryan
came for that, but the last year doesn't come. They, however the law works, they don't have authority to do these things themselves,
yeah.
and they would rely on their local boards of education to add somebody to their board and approve their tax budget. It's
yeah.
very bizarre, but
yeah.
it would be helpful to have somebody here from the
just at least saying
library to understand
yeah.
it. It's hard to vote and approve, but.
I'd be happy to reach out to Ryan and see if he could do a presentation in August.
That'd be great for the next time that they have something before us. Also, just one thing that caught my eye, Beth. I noticed on the travel tour agreement that it looked like the agreement was signed not by you. And I just that's caught my eye as a fiscal person. Seems like you should be signing all the contracts.
So actually, we sent that contract to our legal counsel. You're right, it shouldn't be signed until till after our legal counsel has approved, and technically the board has approved that. So individual employees signing contracts is something that we have asked them not to do, and we continue to remind them
okay.
of that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wanted to confirm that that really was the policy.
It's
kind of an odd one with tours, but still it seems like we should be the one doing that on behalf of the school district. So those are really the questions I had.
I'd also like to point out, as you can see, number 16, that the contract for the videotaping of and broadcasting of board meetings is in here. So once again, we are not changing policy saying that we have to do that. The intention would be to, I think that contract covers the rest of our regular scheduled board meetings for the calendar year, and we'll see where we are at that point.
Jesse, can I highlight just two other things?
Certainly.
So number 8, Baker Tilly Municipal Advisors, that is just an agreement to continue to have them update our Grandview Yard TIF projections on an annual basis. So they just completed the initial projections, and I just received a report. Actually, it was the same day we met as a finance committee later that evening. I got that report, so I'll share that. We'll talk more about that. This is for next year, into a process to update those and continually look at those projections each year to make sure that we're on target.
That's and the company formerly known as Umball.
Formerly known as Umball, that's correct.
Okay. Same.
That's correct. So same staff,
Marvin
same
Bounds.
Yeah,
same friends.
Same
Marvin
friends.
And Jordan.
And then number 10 was the other thing I wanted to highlight, and this is our initial set aside of TIF revenue to be used for debt service in year one. So December of this year, December 2019, we will make our first bond payment, and this is the portion of TIF revenue that will be used towards that based on the final structure of those projections and our millage model and how that all fits together. So this actually sets that money aside out of our general fund into a special cost center. And so that'll be reflected on our next June financial report as well.
That's
one thing
why I'll reduce. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you updated us, Beth, that with the bond sale, the exact pricing and all that turned out very well and sounded like very good news in terms of us being able to meet the commitment of reducing the millage collected. That was passed and approved by the voters by reducing it at 50%.
That's correct. That's correct. Interest rates were on our side. The timing was good for our bond issue in terms of the interest rate that we'll pay on these bonds. On the flip side, the kind of double-edged sword there is now that we have those bond proceeds and we're investing, interest rates are a little lower than what we would like to see investing. But anyway, it did turn out favorable in terms of the timing.
And the rating, we kind of mentioned at the beginning, but that was huge news.
Mm-hmm.
Would they tell you how many entities are usually able to get their rating increased? Like you said, it was really
low,
20%.
Yes,
maybe,
very low.
So it was really good news to get an increase, especially when we don't have a long history of servicing debt.
Yeah, and that was
unlike the city of Columbus that has such a great bond rating because they're regularly in this business. It's very exciting.
Right, so a number of things actually led to that rating increase. So the economic climate in Grandview in Central Ohio, the development projects in Grandview, the fiscal stability of our school district right now, a lot of factors went into that overall rating evaluation and led to that increased rating. So
the song and dance.
Good news. Yes.
Yeah.
Any other questions or discussions under business and finance? A lot going on for the whole summer. Beth, you please call the roll.
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasserman?
Aye.
Personnel, we have a lot of items there too. We already approved D1A. If I could have a motion for D2 through 22.
Second.
Questions or discussions? Or Andy, is there anything else you'd like to point out?
Not that I have.
Questions? questions from the team?
Is this the full entourage of fall coaches in 14?
I believe it is.
Oh, not, oh yes, 14, then 15.
I'll check on that.
There'll be one more added. Sarah Hager is going to be an assistant cheerleading, fall varsity cheerleading coach. So I know that'll show up on the
next agenda
soon.
Okay. Beth, do you please call and roll?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wassman?
There are several items under co-curricular activities, extracurricular activities, three field trips, and volunteers. I would entertain a motion for one motion for all four of those, E1 through 4.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussions from the board? I think the field trips are relatively self-explanatory, and once again, the volunteers are always impressive.
Broke 20 for the first time at the Tiffin Cross Country Invitational. So now you start seeing glory days.
Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wassman?
Aye.
That's fine.
We will be going into executive session, assuming we vote to do so. Are there any other items for discussion?
Very quickly, Ohio Revised Code 3301.0729, which I write that down, looking at Dr. Lusher. It talks about 2% of our school year can't be more than testing. I think it also talks about practice testing, things like that. That's 27 hours. I don't know if this is something we can look into to make sure that we're not in violation of it, especially when you consider practice testing. I just want us to look at that, and I can get you to the numbers for a calendar. When you break it down, if we go beyond 2%, we need to make a resolution saying why we're doing that. I don't know that we are, but it's something I want to put that on your radar.
Oh, that'd be great because we just put together the district assessment calendar, so we can just itemize that over time too. That'd be great.
You said 27 hours. It seems like a lot, but if you and when you start looking at practice in this,
is that per student?
Yes, per academic year. So think about MAP testing. That could
AT,
be
ACT, depending on grade level. We could be close depending on the case.
We need to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting that out there on our radars.
I do have one thing really quick before executive session. I know this isn't really policy related, but I want to share, and Rob and I are talking. The young lady, Sophie, that spoke at graduation, I must say that was probably one of my proudest moments in the district. And I think this is important based on the discussion we had as a board at this time, last time we met, and she told a story, and I will not do it justice. And I don't know her, by the way, but talked about in elementary school how they would be cold on the playground and that whole class would come together and really support each other with warmth. And she talked about coming out in eighth grade and how that whole class did the same thing. And it made me really proud as a district that our students would be that comfortable. And I know we had a hard discussion as a board a month ago about our own policies and procedures, and I don't want that to be in any way misconstrued. You know, I think we have very inclusive policies, and I'm encouraged to continue to look at those. We've added supplementals for inclusivity groups. I know we're tying the same thing. And I don't know why that hit me so much, but you do this, and you're building buildings and talking about taxes and streets and all those sorts of things, and the fact that that's a rare thing for kids. So I'm sorry, I just felt the need to share that at some point. I didn't think I should.
Very, very
that.
Powerful speech.
So
we'll make sure to pass that along to her.
And that's really for all of you that work with our kids every day. And it really brings it home. So I appreciate that more than you. With that being said, we do have executive session. we need to talk about employment and the other one, the negotiation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, employment of public personnel.
You want to make a motion for me, Melissa?
Reviewing negotiations. Julie, was that motion sufficient?
And number one for personnel.
Yes,
okay.
For employment of public personnel, and number four, reviewing negotiations with our bargaining unit.
Have a second for that?
Second.
I don't anticipate any action items after that, but you certainly are welcome to hang around. Beth, can you call the roll for
Mr. Bode?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wassman?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.